Thank you. Thank you very much, Rick. It's really a privilege to be here, and I want to thank you. And I got to tell you, you guys love your pastor a lot, but I love him more. Him and his wife, they're such special people. They're special to us, and I've enjoyed every time that we've ever sat down together and talked, and he's blessed to have you, but you're blessed to have him, okay? And he didn't pay me to say that, okay? So it's really good to be here. In the time we got left, I have a goal this morning. My message, so you can get it all wrapped up in one thought. I'll give it to you in just a minute. My goal is to help you see, understand, and apply the concept of faith, promise, missions, giving. It's that simple. That's all I want to do. Help you see and understand and apply it. But while doing that, I have a secondary goal, and that goal is to help you learn to live by faith in God's word and in God in every area of your life. When we say faith, promise, missions, giving, we really live by faith in God's promises already. And just in the start, I want to say that we're not talking about your promise. We're talking about God's promise. Because your promise isn't worth diddly squat. You know, I like God's promise. But when you talk about faith, promise, missions, giving, it's easy to make an outline. Because there's just 4 points. And the 4 points are really missions, promise, faith, and giving. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, those points. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray that you'd use me, speak through me. But Lord, I pray that folks would realize that if they would just believe you, and they would act upon that belief, Lord, it would change their life. Lord, help some folks who haven't done it before to take a little step in the direction of trusting you and watching you work. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in my outline, the first word is missions. And missions is the fulfilling of the Great Commission, which is go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Missions is about doing that. And we broke that down this week as we were preaching and what that involves. It is the responsibility of the local church to carry out the Great Commission, that commandment. It's the local church's responsibility, and we must do it. In fact, if we don't, we might as well just close the doors. Or, Brother Cunningham, our theology professor, used to say, you might as well go start pyramiding peas because you'll make better use of your time, So it's a responsibility of the church. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, after you receive the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. I'll tell you a couple things about those verses we just mentioned. It says, Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and make disciples. It says in Acts 1:8, that ye shall be witnesses. That one in Matthew means as you are going. It doesn't mean, okay, folks, it's time to go what we call soul winning. No, you are always on the job as a Christian. And everywhere you go, that should be part of your thinking, and you don't have to put it into a different gear in order to carry out the mission. And then Jesus doesn't say, I want you to be a witness. He said, you shall be. You shall be. It is not an option. When you become a believer, you are to be a witness. And this tells us, as we look at Acts 1:8, that mission starts at the door of the church. And it goes to the ends of the earth. And it covers every place in between. I'd like to divide that into two parts. Local missions is making and growing of disciples within the church's own area and or community. But this conference has a lot to do with global missions. And I'm going to give you a definition of global missions. I'm going to say it slow because it involves a lot. Global missions is the sending out and supporting of equipped disciple makers who cross barriers of distance, culture, language in order to establish churches and to strengthen churches in places beyond the normal sphere of influence of its members, both within and outside the USA. They don't have to go overseas, but there are people that your church doesn't reach or can't reach, and we enlist missionaries, our churches do, to go and reach the people that we can't reach. That's global missions. So that's the first word. The second word I want to look at in faith, promise, missions, giving is promise. You know, the idea of promise is not a new concept to you, I don't think. You depend on promises all the time. You know, it was several years ago. I was driving down M46. I was going east toward Port Sanilac from Saginaw, and it's the middle of a snowstorm, and this fella pulled out of a driveway, and he's coming towards me, just him and I on the road. And I believed that he knew what he was doing, and I believe he took the driving test so he would at least know which side of the road to drive on. And so I expected him to keep his promise that he said he would do. But, you know, he pulled out on my side of the road, coming right straight at me. I thought, he better get over. But he didn't. So I thought, well, if he's going to go on my side of the road, this time I'll go on his side of the road. So I moved over, and he moved over. So then I thought, I don't know what's going on with this guy, but so I moved my car over. He moved his car over. And by then we had a head-on collision. I won because he had a Ford and I had a Buick. my car weighed more. But I depend on the promise the other driver makes that he will stay in his lane. I depend on the promise that an airline pilot makes when he says, if you'll get on my plane and ride with me, I will take you somewhere and I will keep you safe. I'm counting on it. He's making me a promise. I depend on the promises of people all the time, and so do all of us. You know, when you go in a restaurant, you ever thought about this? You sit down to eat a meal, and you hope they put the right stuff in it. And you hope they didn't put some of the wrong stuff in it. You hope that They are what they say they would be. Well, here's a promise God made to Noah. I like God's promises. He said to Noah, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. You and I live by that promise, don't we? I count on it. I love the seasons. I love the weather. It's a promise that there will be planting and harvesting. There'll be changes in weather. There'll be seasons of the year. There'll be days and there'll be tomorrow. God makes a promise. We set our calendar to God's promise. Promises are really important. You make promises yourself. You say to a fella, I'll work these many hours, and when I'm done, you can pay me this much money. I promise you I'll work. If you've ever been out in the workforce very, very long, and I have been, and worked with skilled trades and stuff, not everybody who's supposed to work works. Have you ever seen that? Not everybody is doing the job. I see people who promise they'll do the job, but they don't do it. But we make promises about work. Sometimes we make a promise that if you'll let me charge me this to my credit card in a month or so, I'll pay it back. We do it with credit cards. We do it with a mortgage. I made promises in my marriage 52 years ago, and I can't get out. In fact, I don't want out. We make appointments. We make a promise, I think. We commit ourselves to follow Christ, to be Holy Spirit controlled. Well, God makes a lot of promises, and he gives them to us for our good and for his glory. And I want to spend some time looking at some promises. The Bible calls them exceeding great and precious that God gives us. God promises that he'll give you eternal life if you'll believe in his Son as your Savior. One of the most famous promises of all in the Bible is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God made that promise. You can take it to the bank. You know, you can count on it. There was a time in my life, even after I first started pastoring, that I dealt with doubts, and I would say to God, God, I just need you to show me one more time that I'm saved. I want something to happen that makes me know that I'm saved. And it seemed like he would answer that sort of, but later on I would need some more assurance. And then one day God made it clear in my mind. I realized, God said to me, I already told you. What more sign do you want? I got it right in front of you. John 3:16. There it is. That's what I said. Don't you believe me? Stop doubting my word. I didn't need some star to shine in the sky. I didn't need somebody to hit me in the head with a bat. And neither do you, because we can trust God's promises. God promises to bless you if you will obey him. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. God promises to bless you if you obey him. Well, you say, I know some Christians who really live a good Christian life, but it doesn't seem like everything's going right for them. You're not God, so you don't know if it's going right or not. You don't know the rest of the story. You don't know what God is doing. But I know this much. As a child of God, he promises to bless you. And that's why you can give thanks and everything. God promises, I love this one, to provide for you if you will put him first in your life. It says in Matthew 6:31, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. There's nothing that you need that God is not aware of. I can't believe this next phrase. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's what he's telling us. We get it all backwards. We seek these things and hope we have a little left over for God. And God says, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? I'm going to tell you where. The kingdom of God is where God rules. I've met godly people and ungodly people. I had a funeral the other day for a godly lady. You know what that godly lady was? I knew she was godly because she was a believer and she said she was. But her life was God-centered. God-centered. You say, well, what does that mean? Have you ever seen a home that was child-centered? Where the child called all the shots, where the child made the demands, where the child ruled everything. I'm here to tell you, that's a child-centered home. That's not good, by the way. But a God-centered home is a home where God rules everything. And we go through our life asking ourselves a question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God says, if you will seek first to let him rule in your life, seek first the kingdom of God, he'll take care of the rest. And there's a lot of scripture that will support that idea. So I'm just telling you that you do God first. Here's kind of a neat little lesson about giving. A lot of people have giving figured out all wrong when it comes to giving to missions or to their church. They say, well, I got a lot of bills. I hear it all the time. I got a lot of bills. After I pay my bills, if I got any money left over, I'll give it to the church. I'll give it to the Lord. God says, give me the first fruits. He says, God first. In fact, he said, the tithe is the Lord's. It's his. You got no business spending his money. And the way to do it, my friend, is to say, I'm going to give to God first. And I know God will take care of the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God. Hey, God promises to guide you if you will trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. God has a lot of promises. Here's a neat promise that God gives us in Luke 6:38. God promises to give to you if you will give to him. Give to you if you will give to him. He says, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your lap, For with the same measure that you use, it shall be measured to you again. You give, and God promises he'll give to you. How does that work? Now, I can just give and God will make me rich. No. God is interested in accomplishing his purpose. And his purpose happens to be, let's spread the gospel. Go make disciples. And when you get excited and get involved in his business, he gets involved in your business, and you give, and he will give back to you so that you can give again, not so that you can hang on to it. That's how God does it. Now, over the years, we've used Faith Promise Missions in our church, and you have used Faith Promise Missions giving in your church. And I have watched this promise, this principle, work over and over and over again. We had our Faith Promise Missions offering just a few weeks ago, and then I'm reading Facebook. Don't you love Facebook most of the time? One of the ladies in our church was telling about her and her husband wanting to find him a suit. And her husband never wears suits, really. He doesn't like to, but he had to get one for some occasion. So they went out shopping for him, at least a sport coat and a pair of slacks and so on. And so they went shopping. And they're out there and they're looking around, and they got sticker shock. They can't believe what it cost to buy a sport coat. They just about decided they weren't going to buy one and spend this, you know, $120 or $150 or $200 it would cost. And they thought, well, let's go into one more store. So they went into one more store, and they were walking around, and they went way back in the corner. And they had sport coats. By the way, they filled out a Faith Promise card. They filled one out. And they've been doing it for years. And they weren't trying to see what God was going to do, but they were just looking for a sport coat. Back in the corner was a rack of sport coats. Nice ones. And her husband is tall and skinny. So he has a hard time getting a coat to fit him. They had coats on that rack that were nice, that fit him. $7 a piece. They went and talked to the clerk and said, is this right? She said, yes. So they bought two. I'm telling you, if you open your eyes and watch, you can watch God work. He said, give, and it will be given to you. He may make your money go farther. He may give you money. He'll treat you good. My friend, you cannot outgive God. He will be nobody's debtor. That's why I love Faith Promise Missions Giving. Because when we come to promises, nobody fails. You know, people make you promises and they let you down. I could give you a lot of examples, but I'll only say one word and you'll understand the concept. Politicians. God always keeps his promise. Always. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 6:18. It was impossible for God to lie. Ezekiel 24:14. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. Get this in your head. God keeps his promises. Okay? So we come to the third word, and that is faith. The faith I'm talking about is the kind of faith where you learn something, it enters the mind, Okay? It changes the heart. It impacts the whole person. Faith that I'm talking about in Faith Promise Missions Giving, it is sort of like seen in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Change the way you think, and you will change the way you behave. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, then acting on it or modifying your lifestyle so that you are living according to the Word of God. By the way, you all exercise faith in your life. You live by faith every day. I heard about the fellow that was laying on the surgeon's table, and the surgeon was just beginning the operation, and he heard the surgeon say, "Oops." And he said, "What you mean when you say, 'Oops, doctor?'" I don't want to hear my surgeon say, "Oops." And you probably don't want to either, you see. I have faith in my surgeon. I have faith in my druggist that he puts the right pill in the bottle. I have faith in a chair when I sit on it. I have faith in the people who put tomatoes in the jar in the factory. I hope they're doing it right. But the best kind of faith is faith in God and His Word. God's Word is sure. It will not and cannot fail. Some people say, "I don't have a lot of faith. I need more faith." Let me tell you how to get more faith. I challenge you, read God's Word. Do what it tells you. Then watch your faith increase. You want more faith? Then do it. You can never go wrong when you believe God. The Bible is full of examples of faith, but there's one in the Old Testament. Here's one in the New Testament. So Jesus comes along, and Peter and the apostles were taught a fishing lesson. This is a fishing lesson. Now, when Jesus had left speaking in Luke 5:4, he gives a command. It's in the promise. Implied in the command is the promise. He wouldn't tell them to do it if he didn't think it would work. So the Lord speaks, and he says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing." But here comes Peter's faith. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now here comes the action. He says, "I believe." It says, and Peter's action, they let down the net. And when they had done so, when they let down the net, God keeps His promise. They enclosed a great multitude of fish until their net broke. Now watch. God says, "Let it down for a draught of fishes." Peter said, "Doesn't look possible, but I'm going to believe you." And he says, "I'm going to do it, what you say." And he did it, and God kept His word. God makes a promise. Peter hears, he believes, he obeys. God keeps His promise. That's what faith is all about, believing God. Now, the fourth word is giving. Missions, you know, and faith, and then promise, and then giving. Faith, promise, missions, giving. I'm going to talk to you about that for just a minute. Through First Baptist Church. Because this is really important that you get this. By the way, I'm not talking, when I talk about faith, promise, missions, giving, I'm not talking about your tithe right now. It is the Lord's. But really, the tithe is faith, promise, giving itself. Listen to some of God's promises about giving, thinking about promise and faith. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. God says, you honor me and watch what I do. That's how it works. It says in Proverbs 11, 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And don't take that literally. The person who gives will have an abundance. And then it goes on to say, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. I kind of like this picture of this guy standing there with a water hose with a nozzle on it, and he's squirting it in the air, you know, and the water's going up. And he's watering himself while he's watering the garden. That's what God is saying. As you do this, it says in Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Or Luke 6, 38 again, give and it shall be given unto you. The sequence in all of these promises about giving are this. First you hear the promise, then you believe the promise, then you act upon the promise, then you realize what is promised. You hear that? You hear the promise, believe the promise, act upon the promise, you realize what is promised. That really is the sum of every Christian life for everything. I want to know what God has to say. I want to do what he says. I want to believe him. So I teach faith, promise, mission, giving for two reasons. It's a great way for everyone in the church to be involved in the Great Commission, which is missions. Everybody gets to be involved. Secondly, I would like you to learn in this area of faith, promise, missions, giving, I would like you to learn that it works. Now, I knew of a couple that started one time. They thought, well, I'll try, because if a lot of people give a little, that's a lot. They started one time and they said, okay, we're going to fill out a card and we're going to start giving the Lord $5 a week for missions. And the next week, they realized that they were no worse off than they were the beginning of the last year. So they said, well, now we're going to give $10 a week. And they realized at the end of that year they weren't any worse off. So they said, well, let's just really test the Lord. We're going to give him $25 a week for missions. By the way, this is a true story. And so they said, we'll do that. At the end of the year, they weren't any worse off than they were when they started. Eventually, they were given $125 a week to missions, and they weren't any worse off at the end of the year than they were in the beginning. It starts with testing the Lord a little bit. Give him a little something for missions in this particular case. If you do that with missions, pretty soon you're going to do that with everything else in your life, because you're going to realize God is trustworthy. In a few minutes, we're going to be asking you to turn in a faith promise missions card Everybody got one. I kind of would like you to get it out if you've got it. Has everybody got theirs? When you think of the Faith Promise Missions card at First Baptist Church, you realize you almost think of two accounts. One account runs the church, and one account supports the missions program. And with the account for the missions program, as you give it, the church gives it for missions. And the church would like you all to be involved in that. This is not an invitation to get involved in the church's missions program. This is an invitation for you to give God an opportunity to show you that He keeps His promises if you will trust Him. You give to Him. God will never be anybody's debtor. You cannot outgive God. The reason a lot of Christians have financial trouble is because they don't practice this principle and they think they know more about money than God does. They think they know more about giving than God does. They think they know more about God's plan than God does. But I'm here to tell you, God's plan is the best one. And I'm going to ask you to fill this card out and think, pray in your mind, pray in your heart. Ask the Lord, what would you give weekly or biweekly or monthly for missions through First Baptist Church? In a little bit, Pastor Rick, he's going to ask you to turn those in, and they'll add that up for the year, and they'll know what this year's budget is for missions. So, right now, let's pray. And then Pastor Rick's going to come and tell you what to do next, okay? Heavenly Father, You're so good. You're so trustworthy. Lord, help us to be godly in our thinking. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and to realize that when we do that, God, You take care of the rest. Father, I pray for this mission offering that You will be free to work in our minds, in our hearts, Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together, if you will. And we do want to give an invitation, an opportunity, as we say here. Invitations are just an opportunity for you to do business with God. And maybe there's something you want to pray about. You want to come to the altar and pray today. Maybe you want to come pray over your faith promise. And if you're here today and you're not yet saved, you don't know the Lord, and you want to trust Him today, we'd be glad. Pastor Bobby and myself would be glad to take a Bible and show you how to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you want to join the church, requirements for church membership is you've got to be born again, saved by the blood atonement of Christ, and follow the Lord and believer's baptism. And that. So maybe today you want to come and unite with the church. So as they sing, lead us an invitation today. You come as God leads in your heart today.